Hey, what's going on, my friends? It's Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. And I am so thrilled this morning to be here with you and have a returning guest on the show. It is just so fun when we get to do this. So with that being said, let's jump right into things. Allison, welcome back to the show from November 1st, 2023. How the heck are you?
We are doing really good. Really
wonderful. Now, for those of you who did not listen to Allison's first episode, she is a, I would almost say a serial entrepreneur, not to be confused with, the cereal you eat during the morning for breakfast. You're a full-time online marketer at this point. Also a photographer, wedding videographer, kindergarten teacher, charcuterie business owner, coffee shop owner. Just as a quick recap, I want to mostly talk about how things have been since November of 2023. What with all of those things going on, just in case somebody didn't hear your first episode, led you into digital marketing?
Yeah, well, I've done a lot. I think it all boils down to is I don't like having a boss. I like doing my own thing and paving my own path. And I feel like all of those things have led to the point where I am now. And I truly never felt more aligned and more having a purpose than I do right now. And I'm loving it. I'm truly loving it.
I love that for you. And so talk to us a little bit about what has happened since November when you came on. Give us, now looking back, kind of where were you in November of 2023 compared to now where you are now?
Yeah, I was a beginner. I started this business in July and things really started to take off for me at the point of our first call. And a lot of my business was really focused on like the affiliate side of things and just promoting other companies. And I would say since then, my business has grown to more creating my own digital products and creating my own online courses to help people more personally. And I have been loving that so much.
Yeah, I love that for you. And so what do you feel like your biggest breakthrough has been, recently in 2024? What have you learned about this business, about marketing online, about creating income online? I mean, what is one or two things that stick out to you?
I would say you really just need to make a personal connection with your followers. People buy from people. People want to know someone, they want to trust someone. So if you can work hard on building that personal connection first before you even try selling or before you even try to promote anything, just building on that personal connection is the way to go.
And I mean, what would be some examples? Because for me, the way that I've built personal connection is by adding value. And the way that I've add value to people is by teaching them something.
Absolutely. And value over everything.
Yeah. So what are some of the ways that you've built? Because somebody who's brand new might hear you say, build a personal connection and wonder what the heck you're talking about. What does that mean? How do I do that through video? How do I do that? My phone, social media. What is that? What are some examples of some ways that you have improved upon building personal connection with your audience?
Yeah. So I've been building businesses on social media since 2019, and I've built two large accounts since then. One of them has, I built to 87,000 followers, and my current one has 57,000 followers. And you're really just giving without expecting anything in return. I would say giving whether that's information, whether that's entertainment, whether that's like being vulnerable and personal in your stories, letting them in a little bit, just to build that trust aspect with you. Get in your DMs. If someone's asking you a question in your DMs, don't give them like one word answers or send them a link or something. Like really build on that conversation and get to know them on a personal level. Always respond to comments in your on your posts. Really try to interact in your stories, whether you're asking them questions or you're putting polls up. Just really trying to build a community with your followers where it's not super one-sided, like you are just getting and they're not communicating back. Another way I do this is when you're talking in your stories, talk as if you're talking to one person instead of a whole group of people. It makes them feel a lot more heard and a lot more seen if you get on your stories and you're like, hey guys, I have to tell you this. That makes them feel like you're talking to a big group of people. Whereas if you got on there and were like, oh my goodness, I have to tell you what happened to me, it sounds a lot more personal, like you're talking exactly to them and they feel a deeper connection with you that way.
I love that. You know, the copywriting strategy that I've always taken has been similar. It's when I'm writing an email, I'm writing as if, or even a sales letter, I'm writing as if I'm writing it to one person, from me to you. And I think your example of, hey guys, versus, hey, I wanted to tell you something. I wanted to share something with you is a great example. It's simple. And so often we do start our videos and we start everything off with kind of that plural, like we're talking to an audience like, hey guys. And really, it's just not as personal. It's not, it doesn't make the viewer feel as seen and as heard and as connected with and as understood. What else stands out to you as far as something that really has moved the needle in terms of bonding with your audience?
Oh, I mean, just building, I think giving them what they want. You know, we all have different audiences and they all have different needs and desires from you, depending on who you're attracting. If you are putting out something just because you see someone else online coming out with something similar, but it's not what your audience needs or even wants, it's probably gonna flop. So I would suggest really listening and asking your followers what they want from you and then deliver based on that. So for example, my followers, I was attracting a lot of people that have already started their digital marketing business, but were stuck on the social media aspect of everything. And they didn't know how to grow their followers. They didn't know how to build that personal connection. They don't know how to like convert their content into actual sales. So I listened. I listened to what they wanted. And that is personally something that I have a skill in and that I'm good at. So that's what I created my training and my course on, was helping other people build their businesses on social media.
And so that leads me to kind of, you know, this idea of building a business in a niche that you love. This was your, you know, suggested kind of topic for what we maybe could talk about. You know, we ask basically the only prep that we do for the show when we invite somebody on is send them about a, you know, a few questions inside of a little, you know, email or whatever, and just say, hey, you know, where are you at? What would be cool to talk about on the show? What would you suggest a topic or a headline might be for the show? And you said, you know, how to grow on Instagram with a niche that you love. And so talk to us a little bit about, if somebody's not even at that point of growing their audience yet and they're trying to decide what niche or direction to go in, or if they've been going in a certain direction and not really feeling passionate or like that topic resonates with them, talk to us a little bit about this idea of building a business in a niche that you love and how has that played out for you?
It's just, people put a lot of pressure on the choosing the niche part, And I get it because it's the path that you are going to continue to go down. But before you choose something purely because someone else sees success in it, I want you to ask yourself, do I love this? Am I good at this? Do I know anything about this? Do I have a personal story to tell about this? Because when you have all those things, and when you have like that passion and that drive, it just makes things so much easier, so much easier. Creating content is so much easier when it's something that you love to talk about, something that you're passionate about, something that you know a lot about. It's so much easier. And building that personal connection with people is easier because when you have that personal story behind it, you're able to attract more people like you. It's just a lot easier to find success when you're following a niche and a path that truly brings you joy and that you're aligned with.
Yeah. So
I really like people to really think and do some self-reflection before choosing a niche to go.
Talk to us about your choices. I know that last time I talked to you, I think you had also a channel or channels inside of the charcuterie niche. You've clearly got it inside of the online marketing niche. Talk about how the advice that you just gave, how you used it to choose your directions in the niches that you're in.
Yeah, I feel like everything that I have done up until this point has had almost a common theme of just being creative. I feel like I'm a really creative person. So I had, in college, I had a photography business, and then that kind of transformed into a wedding videography business. And then I was a kindergarten teacher, which I loved. But then I really realized that I want the freedom to not have a boss and to spend my days how I want. So I only did that for a year. And then I got into my charcuterie business because I got to be creative and hands-on and make beautiful things. And then Reels came out during my charcuterie business phase. And I just leaned super heavy into that. I already had a background in photography and videography, and creating Reels for my business was the highlight of that business. And I absolutely loved it. And then, because I loved creating Reels, my account grew exponentially. And I had all of these other charcuterie artists coming to me asking how I was able to grow my business that fast and reach more clientele and grow my business, grow my following, just using social media and Reels. So that's when I launched my very first online course. I had no idea what I was doing, but I wanted to give that information to all these other charcuterie artists on how to use Reels to grow your business, essentially. So when I came out with that, the day I launched it, I made more money than I have ever made in my entire life. And it was kind of like a turning point in my head. I was like, wow, if I could create a digital product once and sell it that many times over, yeah, it was just a huge difference, because creating recurring sales like that compared to physically making boards, loading up the ice chest, driving to an event, it was just very labor intensive. And I was like, dang, this one's a lot less work for a lot more money. And this one is taking my life away. So when I decided to shut my business down, it was a very hard decision, but I was pregnant with my daughter and I couldn't do the labor intensive parts. You know, I couldn't lift heavy ice chests and trek it across town. So I made the really hard decision to shut my charcuterie business down, even though it was like a really, really successful business and I built something that I was really proud of and loved. I just couldn't do that and be a stay-at-home mom anymore. So I had to make a really hard decision and I shut the business down. And then I had about a 6-month period where I did nothing. Well, I wouldn't say did nothing. I birthed my daughter and I had that full postpartum period of just kind of sitting back and enjoying the newborn phase. But then whenever she was around 4 months old, I was like, you know, I really miss making money. I really miss helping my family financially, and I really need a creative outlet again. So I was trying to figure out what I can do from home that didn't require a ton of my time, that I could stay present with my kids, that wasn't labor intensive. And it took me a good while to figure it out. But whenever I saw a digital marketer on Instagram, I was like, you know what? I could do that. And I already had the previous experience of creating that first online course with no knowledge, no knowledge at all about marketing or creating a course at all. And I saw the success that came from that. And I was like, you know, I could do that again. I could teach more people. I can help more people make money online in the same way I did. So it just kind of evolved over time, which I love. And I can truly say that I've never felt more aligned and more passionate about what I'm doing at this moment.
And it's ironic because we teach how to build digital products right here in Legendary. It's one of our business blueprints. So for those of you who are, you know, wondering or thinking, wow, that sounds like something I can do, which is take an existing business that I'm doing and teach somebody else how to do it. And that's exactly what you did. And you went from the doer to the teacher role. And the teacher, the guru, the person, and it's kind of like this. I was speaking to somebody who just got back from going to Asia, somewhere in Asia, to learn how to become a yoga to teach teachers. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the powerful thing about what this person is doing is they're moving from just doing yoga and also just doing yoga classes in their community to now having the ability, the certifications, the knowledge, all that, to be able to teach not only yoga, but also teach teachers. Mm-hmm. And not only can they do that in person, but they could also do that in digital form.
Yeah.
They can do that on the internet through a digital course slash and a coaching program. And so for those of you who have something that you've done your whole life and you are sort of stuck in the doing phase, you can't get out of the trading your time or your labor for money. Let me say that again. For those of you who are in the process and stuck in the phase of doing what you do, trading your time or your labor for money, moving into teaching it to others is one way to create massive leverage. And that's exactly what creating a digital course and or a coaching program and or do an event is all about. That is the essence of creating an information product, a knowledge product. You move from swinging the hammer to teaching how to swing the hammer. You move from swinging the baseball bat on the field to standing in the dugout calling the shots. Maybe even sitting in the owner's box as the general manager, or even moving up into an owner's position. It is about creating leverage, moving out of that labor-intensive trading time for money. It is moving through the cash flow quadrant, as Robert Kiyosaki described. And I'm not saying Robert Kiyosaki is a god or a guru or somebody that we should listen to every single word he says. Look, the only thing that I am really interested about that concept is the cash flow quadrant and how simply he explains moving from employee to self-employed to then being a business owner. And the difference between being self-employed, which means that you own your job, you still have to show up. That would be like a massage therapist who quit the studio that he or she worked at and opened the business. has a corporation business cards and is handing them out and saying, I got my own business now, just call me direct. Well, he or she still has to show up to give that massage to get paid. The difference is when he or she goes to hire other therapists, start using marketing strategies to generate leads, online marketing to build he or she's audience, just like you were talking about. And now all of a sudden has leads coming in, massage clients coming in, and is opening maybe a studio or a mobile massage business where various therapists are going, now you've got a business that works based on systems, people, and some sort of software system. And that's the step into beginning to generate wealth in real, you know, significant income from trading time to money. Then we take the money that we make from that cash cow business and we begin to invest it in, you know, real estate, you know, in index funds or the stock market or gold and silver or things that create actual passive income that may not, you know, passive income is usually not something that you're going to get rich overnight with. It's something that's a safe, a rather safe, trustworthy investment that's going to build and compound over time. And that's what things like the stock market and real estate are known to do. Does that resonate with you, Allison, in terms of the journey that you're on right now?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I'm definitely in that next step of like setting up systems to make my business work for me. But with the online courses that you teach in Legendary, the whole blueprint is amazing, how it just like sets you up to set up these systems for you. But I think a lot of people have this fear or doubt that, oh, I don't know enough to teach someone else, or mm-hmm. I'm not qualified in this area to teach someone. I guarantee you that you know something that someone else wants to learn. I came across this one girl's page. She had a mobile bar cart for weddings. She created that kind of business and mm-hmm. she was doing great with it. And she decided to create an online course teaching other women how to start their own bar cart for weddings, how to create a successful business. That's not something she went to school for. That's not something she's like qualified in. It's just something that she's done, something that she's experienced in, and something that she could teach others and save them time and money instead of them having to figure it out all on their own. She's there to help them and show them how, which I think is amazing. Mm. You have something yeah. that you know that other people don't know, and they want to hear from you.
Yeah. And, you know, Maybach says, funny, I'm a massage therapist and this hit the nail right on the head. You gave me a whole strategy. Yeah. Well, you know, this is a whole strategy no matter what, as Allison just said, no matter what you are, what you know, or what you have done. We all have knowledge. We all have information. Many of us have what would be considered an expertise. The cool thing about it is that you don't actually have to be an expert in order to begin to teach or have value to sell to other people. Yes, I did say sell. As a matter of fact, I pride myself on not being like the expert of experts at online marketing, because I'm always learning. It's not a great place to be like the all-knowing, omnipotent expert, right? You want to know enough to be dangerous. Sometimes your course will sell better if you are not perfect at everything, because you show that it can be done without being the best in the world and the most expert, biggest, you know, most all-knowing person that always has all the answers to all the questions. You create a community where other people are contributing answers as well. Just like me coming on Wake Up Legendary, thank you, Jaylen. We've done 900, you're the 38th guest, 930. I get on here every single morning and I'm learning as much as I'm ranting and raving and sharing my experience. But I'm never putting myself on a pedestal as if I'm the end all be all, because then people don't feel like you know, they want to contribute. Like, it's a safe place to be able to share their experience. And one of the leverages that we have in the online marketing space, specifically when we're creating courses, coaching programs, events around community, is that other people will want to contribute inside of your community as well. And so if you don't create space for them to be able to do that because you're the all-knowing expert and everything has to go through you and your way is the only way, well, they don't, you, that's not a great way to create a community. You actually will gain more respect from people by creating a space for them to share their experience, successes, challenges, as if you were a tyrant or a dictator, or somebody who wanted everybody to, in a toxic way, praise you and, you know, touch the thread on your robe in order to, you know, somehow be transformed or something, which is how some of these kind of more toxic cult-like coaches build their business. You know, that's not really what we're aiming for. We're aiming to build community. And the beautiful part about creating information products is that you can create a community and you don't have to be the expert. Allison, do you find that you also have a lot of grace from your audience and that you also don't have to know everything and that people appreciate the fact that you are a real person and authentic and maybe don't know everybody's answers all the time, but we'll strive to get them if you don't know them? Can you speak on not being an expert and or knowing absolutely everything and starting or even launching a course or coaching program, even if you feel like you're not ready?
Yeah, start messy. Start messy. Done is better than perfect. You know, you're never going to start something and it's going to be perfect. If you are a perfectionist like me, it's just going to hold you back because you're never going to feel like you know enough. You're never going to feel like you know enough information or that what you know is valuable enough. But it is. And whenever you do have that community and build that personal connection, it just makes it so much more enjoyable. And when they do have, like, when they feel like they can talk to you, when they feel like they talk to you, you gain a lot of insight from that. You know where they're struggling. You know what their desires are. If you can, like, really take the time to get to know who they are, where they're coming from and where they want to be, you can really nail down your messaging to be a lot more magnetic as you're speaking to these people, because you know what they desire and you know what their pitfalls are. You know what's holding them back. And if you can just sit back and listen instead of just talking, but actually receiving and listening to where they're coming from, it's actually extremely insightful moving forward, like I was saying, even like creating products or having suggestions or creating content. If you are answering questions that they have, creating products that will help them, it's just, you're more likely to see success in that way. But yeah, I feel like building that connection is by far the most imperative thing about your business and growing your business. And it is so, so sweet when one of your clients or one of your followers reaches out and says how much you have helped them and how much of a connection they feel with you and how, like, you're a friend. Like, they feel, I've had so many people reach out to me and feel like, say, I feel like we're best friends. Like, I feel like I know you and I have never met you a day in my life. I do get extremely vulnerable in my stories. I open up about my struggles. When I'm having a bad day, I tell them. It's not a highlight reel. I don't put just the good out there. I put the good, bad, and the ugly. When I'm struggling, I say it. When something's not going right, I say it, just so they feel like I'm a person. I'm a person just like them. I'm relatable. And that ultimately builds that trust to where it's not like, oh, this is this perfect person and like I can't talk to her, like she's too good. But whenever you like break down that barrier and you come across as like, I'm no different than you. You're no different than me. I have no skill that you couldn't learn to. And I'm just going to show you the way. People trust you a lot more.
Yeah.
And it's just a better community whenever you are able to build that connection.
Well said, beautifully said. Dina says, Dave, have you ever used your addiction recovery with the business? That's something you and I have in common, and just wondering what you thought about that as a niche. That's a great question. There are some things that I have felt comfortable, you know, kind of monetizing, and then some things I just prefer to use as a part of my marketing story, my origin story. And personally, I've been a part of 12-step recovery programs my entire 15-year recovery. And that's how I got clean, was by just going to a free 12-step meeting. I mean, it's free. It's like AA or NA or something like that. So for me, it's not, that is kind of my, if somebody wanted to get clean the way that I got clean, that's how I got clean. So for me to go and create a some sort of a paid course or some sort of a paid coaching program to teach somebody how to get clean, that would be sort of something that for me wouldn't technically sit right. Right. And it wouldn't be in alignment. It wouldn't be ethical. In other words, I guess that might be the right word to use. So I'm not going to say that I have a problem with somebody creating a community and selling membership prices for accountability to get sober. Just for me, if somebody wants to know how I got sober, just go to a meeting, you know, go to treatment, you know, with addiction professionals. I'm not an addiction professional. I'm just an addict, a recovering addict. And yes, I have amazing experience, but it's more something that also with my personal recovery, it's something that I want to make sure that I always remain a student and don't try to become a guru about, because that's very personal to me, right? It's very personal to me. So I need to always remember who I am and where I came from, and that I am still vulnerable to going back for relapse and things of that nature. So I need to stay grounded in that. So again, I use my addiction and recovery story as just simply part of my story in whatever type of business that I'm doing. It just is a way for me to be vulnerable, for people to get to know me better. Hey, I've been in recovery for 15 years. I got sober 15 years ago. I'm sober from drugs and alcohol. I was addicted. I had an opiate addiction back in the prescription, 90s, where kind of prescription pills and things, I got sucked up into that and got clean when I was 24. And over the course of the last 15 years, have been able to turn that mess into a message. People are inspired by that. It helps them get to know me better and build trust, so I can then transition into other things. I don't use it. I'm just sharing. It's a big part of my life. So Dean, I hope that answers your question in terms of what sort of my boundaries are around things that I'm would be willing to build a business around and things that I'm not. What about you, Allison? What do you have certain things that you use in your story, but you might not be as excited to try to monetize?
Yeah, I do feel like with more of like the medical stuff, you probably need like an actual certification to be teaching things of that nature, or like a psychology degree. But I do have the like last or probably the first 9 months of my daughter's life, I was struggling with postpartum depression, which is something I've talked about a lot with my followers. And it honestly, it helped me, but it also helped them. You know, I loved hearing people's stories and how they dealt with it and how they got through it, but also they felt validated and seen and a more personal connection to me because I was sharing about that. But
yeah,
go make a course on how to get out of postpartum depression. But because I mean, honestly, it's still something I struggle with. She's 11 months old now, and I feel like I'm just now seeing the tail end of it. But it's definitely a very personal thing that I probably wouldn't be teaching others about, just more sharing and building trust and personal connection in that way.
I think those type of topics, addiction, postpartum depression, things of that nature, those are things that we can share as part of our story to help our audience get to know us better,
yeah,
understand that we're human, give connection points to help people feel seen, heard, and understood, but maybe not particularly build an entire business around that specific topic. These are the exact things that we can use to be vulnerable in our marketing to help people, to humanize us, but maybe not create a product around. I may do a personal development product or a confidence building product or something of that nature and include parts of my story about addiction, or maybe a module inside of that course about overcoming addictions or getting awareness around your addiction. You know, I can use that part of my life, which is a huge part of my life, and clearly all of you know that because I've shared it before. I can use that and it becomes a powerful point in everything that I do, but I may not specifically build a course around how to get clean, right? Or how to be sober in recovery. So yeah, great question. Thanks for all of the wonderful, you know, feedback. You all really make it easy to share things, and I appreciate that. And what I found, Allison, is that, you know, when I do share things and I share them with people, you know, in a real way, in an authentic way, people really appreciate it. And it's scary at first, right? I can remember the first time that I was like that, and I was much younger, thinking about sharing the fact that I was a recovering addict in recovery. And I was terrified that I was going to be judged and terrified that I was going to be rejected and made fun of and ostracized and all of that. But it really does take the power away from things when you share it and own it, because now all of a sudden nobody can use it against you. And so I've learned to take the very things that are the most shameful or embarrassing things and kind of put it out there. Last year I went through a divorce and it was like, man, that was a thing that I was like, oh, I failed in life. You know what I mean? And I've begun to weave that now into some of my talking points, share about it occasionally here on Wake Up Legendary, you know, begin to air it out, and it takes the power away. Mm-hmm. Right. I may not share something or go right into it exactly right when it's fresh and raw, because I need to process that. And therapy has been a huge tool for me, friends. So if you're wondering, how does Dave share oftentimes so openly about certain things in my life? Well, you can bet your bottom dollar I've processed it somewhere else before I'm sharing it publicly. That's kind of one of my secret weapons, right? And so having a therapist, somebody who I can share confidentially with, is some of the best money that I've ever spent, right? But once I start to share things, because I've gotten a little clarity and I feel a bit more grounded in them, but I'm still a little bit afraid to share them publicly, and I take that risk to try to turn that mess into a message, whether it's received positively or not, which it always is, you know, it really takes the power away, and I feel more empowered because I don't feel like I have this like secret that I'm holding on to, that I'm ashamed of, that I'm afraid people to find out about me. What comes up for you around that?
Oh,
Obviously, the postpartum thing, I'm sure, was huge for you to share.
It was a big struggle. And even like during the pregnancy phase, like I shared about every ache and pain and symptom and everything. And like I said before, it just brings your people closer. It brings your people closer. And the people who aren't about it, you don't want in your community anyway. Okay. No. It's not a bad thing to say things that are a little controversial, because you want the people who agree with you to stay and those who don't agree with you to hit the road. You don't want those type of people in your community anyway. So it is okay. But even if you're not talking about like these heavy subjects on your stories, I know a lot of people just feel like that pressure and the nerves just getting on there and saying anything at all, you know, just showing your face on your social media can be absolutely nerve-wracking. I remember when I first started getting on social media, I had to re-record. I was going to do a story with my face talking about like some charcuterie special I was doing. And I had to record that thing 30 times before I felt confident enough to post it. And then I just felt sick to my stomach all day, rewatching it over and over again, overanalyzing. And then now I can get on there like in my sweats, no makeup on, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? It's just the more you do it and the more you practice, the more confident and less scary it will be. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people have like those nerves of, oh, I don't want to show my face on social media. And there's actually a lot of accounts popping up recently. I've seen a trend of like faceless accounts.
Yeah.
Which to each their own, but I think it would be extremely, extremely difficult to build that personal connection and trust with your followers without showing yourself, without them being able to see that you're a person, that you're a real person behind that account and that you care. And I think it would be really difficult to build trust in that way. So just don't let the fear overcome you, because you can do hard things. Everyone is nervous the first time they post on their stories. Everyone is scared putting their face on social media. I promise it's not as bad as you think. And if people laugh or people don't like what you're doing, they can hit the road. Your page is not for them. But
Catherine said, that was me the other day. I recorded over 100 times and was crying with frustration. I still have to post it. I'm scared.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Post it and don't look back. And then the next time you do it, it'll be easier. And then it'll be easier and easier and easier. And then it'll just be second nature. It'll just come naturally.
Becky says, this is a great interview, Allison. Your insights are so beneficial. Congrats on your success.
Well, thank you, Becky.
So many wonderful, wonderful comments back for you, Allison. I hope you have a chance to scroll through and catch some of them.
I hate them after this.
This just in closing here, for a lot of you, what we're talking about is just like on down the road a little bit, but this is Allison's second time on the show. She was back on November 1st, 2023. So, these are some things that we learn and bridges that you cross as you continue down the journey. For a lot of you, just as Allison's saying, getting on camera is a process, and kind of putting yourself out there is kind of a great way to just kind of learn to accept yourself a little bit more. Even, dare I say, like yourself, love yourself, right? It really is. It's like this kind of like where we let down all of the cares about what everybody else thinks. For me, building this business, being an entrepreneur and putting myself out there on camera, and it's really been a process of kind of slowly caring more about what I think and less what others think. And that has been extremely beneficial to my self-worth and self-esteem. And it's helped me to build an identity based on what I think, not what other people think. And in turn, people have followed me and bought from me and wanted to do business with me and wanted to trust me because I think highly of myself. And not because I care so much about what they think, because I do the things that I do because they are my values, because they align with what I believe. And people can make the decision, wow, what he believes and who he is aligns with me, not because I'm trying to be something for everyone, and oftentimes something different for each person. You know, Allison, I see that in your journey as well. You're standing tall, metaphorically tall and strong in your own space here, and you have your own unique brand. You have your own unique message. There's been many comments from people who have gone over and watched a little of your content just in this hour and said, it's so simple, it's so peaceful, it's beautiful. And I just want to congratulate you for kind of finding your voice, building your brand, and really being, you know, successful with this in a way that is true and right for you. And that's really, I think, despite the money and the success that you've had, the biggest accomplishment that you have here so far. And I can't wait to see kind of what continues to happen in your journey. So come back and maybe see me for a third time.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, be well, stay legendary, my friend. And we'll send everybody over to follow you on Instagram, and we'll talk to you really soon. Okay.
That's great. Thank you, Dave.
All right, Allison, talk to you later. All right, my friends, please go follow Allison at AllisonSelf_. She's over on Instagram, AllisonSelf_, AllisonSelf_, AllisonSelf_ at the end. My friends, wow, what a fantastic way to start a Monday. I got to throw three hats for Allison. That was, man, whoa, jeez Louise. I mean, talk about a touchdown spike that was needed at the end of this episode. It's true. It's beautiful to have somebody come back and kind of check in with them as we've done with Allison. Remember, I said her episode was November 1st, 2023. And so it was beautiful to have her back, check in with her, see what she's up to. Again, you can find her at AllisonSelf_ over on Instagram. If you want to get started with our 15-day challenge, our business blueprints, come to a mastermind, go to legendarymarketer.com/enroll. That's legendarymarketer.com/enroll, ENROLL/enroll. And if you want to get a simple, gentle, non-spammy, we'll never spam you, text message every time that we go live, it looks just like this. Okay, it's just a little link that you can click with a little description about the show that morning. Text WUL, the letters WUL, where you would normally put like hello or good morning, WUL, to the number 813-296-8553. Again, that's 813-296-8553, and we'll send you a little text message reminder at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, whenever we go live. That's it, my friends. Get on out of here. Have a great Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow for another episode. Peace.